Shalom Aleichem to all who are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcast. This is Les Aaron Gosling teaching nothing new but all things original. I've entitled this podcast, The Great Deception is Coming. Our Lord Yeshua said, "As the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." To properly grasp Earth's ancient history is important if we are to correctly understand what the Mashiach had in mind when he referred to the days of Noah as being strikingly similar to the period just prior to the end of days, and in fact including all that is meant in that terminology. I wish again to point out that, apart from the biblical revelation, all ancient histories of civilizations, including Egypt, Babylon, China, India, Peru, and Mexico, speak in terms of their relationship with the star nations and their ongoing intercourse with humankind. They speak, in other words, of an earth engagement relating to angelic history in terms of three distinct periods. Period A is invariably an age or an epoch when the gods came from the stars and ruled the earth, introducing for the benefit of humankind the arts and sciences, and especially the celestial arts and sciences. Period B follows with centuries of reigns by the offspring of the gods and human women, the age of the demigods, the king priests. These demigods shared reptilian DNA, which was blended like a nice bourbon. When they depart, they leave a promise of a return in the far distant future. Then there's period C, the era known for its sun or solar divine dynasties consisting of selected men and women designated to rule by the gods who had departed back to the deep stellar regions of the heavens during period B. The concept of the divine right of rule comes from this period. It is during this age of antiquity that we find the stellar region and religion to be a universal phenomenon, with the establishment of secret religions and rites of spiritual passage for a religious elite. It is during this age we find divine dynasties claiming descent from the sun gods. Today, only the Japanese continue to worship the emperor as the son of the sun. But concerning period B, it's intriguing that all ancient histories deal with the exit of the gods back to the center of the starry heavens in the Milky Way galaxy, but they leave behind a contingent, a base, a colony, to guard and protect the secret or mystery celestial arts and sciences from misuse by inept humans. This is commonly referred to by mythologists as the ancient wisdom. Those left here on planet Earth, we might refer to them as watchers or as ultra-terrestrials. They monitor human progress. They have been here on planet Earth for thousands of years. Indeed, these last contingents remove themselves from the race of humankind. There is a withdrawal from civilization on the surface of the planet, and they build enormous technologically advanced subterranean cities beneath the Himalayas, the Andes, and the Great Gobi Desert, and beneath the three principal oceans. Now, we may conjecture this is all drivel, pure science fiction, or at best, mythology. However, many tales of fabulous lost cities such as Agati, Shangri-La, and Shambhala abound right throughout Asia, and consistent mention is made by the ancient writers of these fabulous lost cities. One wonders about the lack of scholarly appreciation regarding the authenticity of these ancient legends when we compare them with and ponder over the enormous number of reliable eyewitness accounts of persistent UFO activity, not merely over Mexico, but in Antarctica and in the region of Lhasa in Tibet and across the skies of Nepal. In fact, Lhasa is the mysterious city beneath which Noah reportedly buried the archives of the ancient world. And Noah's interest in China, that I can give you another lecture on that very, very soon. But China's interest in Lhasa and its invasion of Tibet may very likely have a hidden agenda. As to the region of Tibet, the locals acknowledge, as par for the course, that UFO sightings in the skies above them are so regular and have been occurring for thousands of years, but nobody thinks twice about them. Westerners are completely taken by surprise at this admission. Whatever the case, the continuous, credible, verifiable, and scientific witness reports at Antarctica bases afford and accord with the many sightings by naval and passenger vessels of UFOs in the shape of saucers or shields ascending from and descending into the oceans. Well, like the ancient histories, the Bible has a lot to say about visits to this planet by the Bene Elohim, the sons of the gods, from the far-flung starry galaxies. Genesis 6, have a look at that, and compare it with Matthew 24, verse 37. Our Lord Yeshua said, "As the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." In the days of Noah, there was an invasion of Earth from the deep stellar regions of outer space. The Bible records at least two invasions in Genesis 6 when the sons of the gods, the Bene Elohim, the star or the sky people, made contact with our planet and came to visit. As a result of sexual relationships between the gods and Earth's women, Nephilim, incidentally, from Nephal, to fall, or fallen ones, the ones that flew or fell out of the sky, came out of the sky, or giants, were born to the women. But this word giants, most don't understand, comes from the Septuagint, the LXX, which transliterates as gigantes, meaning earthborn. That they were really large children also happens to be correct. Most of the giants of the past were killed off. We find the sons of Anak, the Anakim, later in the scriptures. The last lot of earth giants died of diseases contracted from the sailors on board Spanish ships and Captain James Cook's vessels at Patagonia in the mid-18th century. Certainly, John saw this age and cried in Revelation 12, verse 12, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having wrath, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time left." Now excluded from the heavens, the flying sorcerers will have returned, but it will be nothing compared with the over 100 million flying saucers or heavenly chariots that will accompany our Lord Yeshua at his authentic return. In fact, have a look at Revelation 5 and verse 11, where the Greek should be translated myriads of myriads and kiliads of kiliads. It is written in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 that God will send strong delusion, strong deception, in other words, so that the nations shall believe what is a lie. Notice it is God who does this. It is not Satan the devil. So, what is this great deception sent to planet Earth, not by Satan, but by God himself, in order to usher in his prophetic words into a reality here below? I have been teaching for well over 45 years that it will be nothing less than the final stage in a series of deliberate, successful attempts to destroy the present world order and what confidence remains for us in that order. We know that our Lord Yeshua warned us of an event or series of events which were to be so exciting and exhilarating and convincing that even his very own chosen apostles had the capacity for being deceived by it. We know that the satanically energized cherub, Moloch, rebelled in the 6th century BCE and became the covering for the king of Tyre. We know the coming Antichrist will be a fruit loop of sorts, imagining himself, as did Apollo worshipping Nero in the 1st century, as being God incarnate, as says so in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, and that he will be worshipped as God in a re-established temple in Jerusalem, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, Matthew 24 verse 15, Matthew 24 verse 26, in which will be the restored Ark of the Covenant, the existence of the cherubic statues in the temple, which is mentioned in the Holy Scriptures, cannot be the case without the Ark to accompany them. People overlook that. This cherubic obsession or incubus will take place in the secret chambers of the temple of God, which will desecrate the precincts of the Holy of Holies and lead to desolation. Have another look at Matthew 24, verse 26. Have a look at Daniel 11, 36 to 39. The great deception, the great trump card of the Lord Foul, is this. Hasatan will duplicate and counterfeit the second coming of Mashiach. Hasatan will claim to be the returning Christ to rule all nations with a rod of iron, fulfilling all the ancient prophecies of the anticipated warrior Messiah appearing in the clouds in the midst of flames of fire. Isaiah 66, verse 15. Cast from the heavens by Michael the archangel in ignominious defeat, The Dark Lord will enter Earth's atmosphere in craft, the like of which we have never seen before, in an awesome display of spectacular metallic technology. Millions of Earth survivors all over the planet will have been glued to their televisions watching the progress of this heavenly fleet through the solar system. Hundreds of millions will witness the staggering gravitation of gleaming aerial ships through the upper atmosphere to the surface of the Earth with awe and wonder, with the dumb disbelief of unwisdom. Satan will proceed to energize his earthly administration with his spirit of dialectic materialism and extreme despotism. Let all that sink in. In past lectures I have given on both the major and minor prophets, I have discussed a time period known as the Day of the Lord. According to the biblical revelation, we are sitting ducks as we await asteroids, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis a mile high, geoengineered devastating earthquakes triggered all across the globe with associated and extreme global climate upheaval, islands sinking beneath the waves, famine, continents reshaping, widespread disease epidemics, the release of demonic creatures from beneath the surface of the earth, and a UFO invasion from the far ends of the universe. Yes, it may sound as if I am an alarmist and catastrophist, but these are not my prognostications. They are statements of fact from the mouth of the Lord God who brought this plan of salvation into an existence in the first place. We may not like to admit that what we see around us is the plan of God for the salvation of humanity, but it is either the plan of God or God is shown to be as stupid as the local village idiot. Surprisingly, there are a number of texts that most certainly seem to indicate that most of God's people will survive these horrifying conditions. Barely. Many of them will have the protection of angels, and if they are not real to you today, then they most assuredly will be in the near future. Certainly, we messianic believers should be among the most positive and enthusiastically charged people on the face of the planet Earth. For Yehovah God has not left us in any doubt as to a knowledge of future events, and we can be amongst those who exercise our freedom and liberty in Messiah by doing what the emissary Paul commanded the Christians in his day and age when he exhorted them in Philippians 4:4 through to 8, to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I might also add, to rejoice when you click on the upgrade to paid on our homepage in order to access our large store of lectures on a variety of biblical subjects. There is nothing to compare with the lectures from the BRI-IMCF. You will not regret that decision. Stay tuned in order to unlock the secrets of the Bible. Solve the mysteries of the biblical revelation. Explore the astonishing realms of infinite intelligence. Enjoy the advancement you will attain as a spiritual being having a human experience in this material world. We invite you to traverse the contents of this ancient book we call the Holy Bible to gain a unique insight into the Jewish scriptures. If you are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcasts for any of these reasons, then welcome indeed. It is high time to restore all things, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you in this manner. This is Les Aaron Gosling saying, Kol Tov to all who love the Lord Yeshua.